This is DW News, and these are our top stories. The United States has announced a diplomatic boycott of the Beijing Winter Olympics over China's human rights record. U.S. diplomats or officials won't be traveling to the Games, but American athletes will still be allowed. The White House accuses China of carrying out a genocide of Uyghur Muslims in Xinjiang and other rights abuses. Beijing says it will take countermeasures against any boycott. A court in Myanmar has sentenced ousted civilian leader Aung San Suu Kyi to 4 years in detention, since reduced by 2 years. Suu Kyi was found guilty of inciting dissent and breaking COVID-19 rules. The international community has denounced the ruling as politically motivated. It's the first in a series of cases against Suu Kyi, who was detained when the military seized power in February. Germany is getting a new three-way coalition government after the Greens voted in favour of joining forces with the Social Democrats and the Free Democrats. The Social Democrats' Olaf Scholz is expected to be voted in as Chancellor on Wednesday. This is DW News from Berlin. You can find much more on our website, dw.com.
Is this the picture of a woman ignoring a pandemic and threatening public health? Well, Myanmar's military junta says it is. Today, Aung San Suu Kyi was sentenced to 2 years house arrest for violating COVID-19 rules for standing outside wearing a mask and a protective visor, her dog at her side. Now, if this seems ludicrous, it is. But this is junta justice in Myanmar. There are 9 more charges against Suu Kyi. If convicted, the 76-year-old Nobel Peace Laureate will spend the rest of her life out of the public eye. And that is apparently exactly what Myanmar's generals want the world to see. I'm Brinkhoff in Berlin. This is The Day.
Really, today, this verdict is a shameful day.
These bogus charges were essentially manufactured by the military.
The results is just as bad as the charges themselves.
It shows that the military wants to eliminate any opposition to its rule.
This is a 100% political trial.
So this is evidence of the military generals in Myanmar committing crime against Myanmar.
We believe it will only embolden the resistance against the illegitimate rule of the military.
Also coming up, better late than never, Germany is taking a novel approach to fighting the coronavirus pandemic. An epidemiologist is about to become the new health minister.
He's a specialist and has the knowledge, more than the current health minister, and he'll probably make good decisions.
To our viewers watching on PBS in the United States and to all of you around the world, welcome. We begin the day with Myanmar's champion of democracy, Aung San Suu Kyi, and why her future suddenly looks a lot like her past. Directed by Myanmar's military junta, sentenced Suu Kyi to 4 years in prison for violating COVID-19 rules last year. Within hours and with no explanation, a top general reduced the sentence to 2 years house arrest. Now, there are 9 other charges awaiting Suu Kyi, charges human rights groups and the UN label a fabrication of the generals designed to keep the Nobel Peace Laureate out of sight and out of mind. If convicted, the 76-year-old will spend the rest of her life locked up, a place that she knows all too well. Before 2010, Suu Kyi spent almost 15 years under house arrest. Now, Suu Kyi once enjoyed the respect and admiration of the international community. In 2017, she refused to criticize the military for conducting a campaign of ethnic cleansing against hundreds of thousands of Myanmar's Rohingya Muslims. Had she defended human rights then, would the military have changed course? Did her refusal to speak out against the generals allow those same generals to silence her once again?
The first verdict in a series of trials taking place behind closed doors.
Ousted civilian leader Aung San Suu Kyi could be facing the rest of her life in prison.
Really, today, this verdict is a shameful day for rule of law, justice, and accountability in Myanmar. They will do everything they can to destroy our freedom and our democracy completely and totally, and replace our dreams with military dictatorship forever.
Many supporters have not been intimidated by their leader's imprisonment. They've been pushing back since the coup in February. Pro-democracy demonstrations took place again over the weekend, but they were met with a violent response. On Sunday, several people were killed when security forces rammed a car into a crowd of protesters. Dozens more were injured. Despite the danger, anti-coup protesters refused to be silenced. Banging pots and pans from their windows in Yangon, residents paid tribute to those killed. It's one of the few ways they can still stand together against the military's brutal crackdown.
And for more tonight, I want to bring in Brad Adams. He's the Executive Director of Human Rights Watch's Asia Division. He joins me tonight from Berkeley in California. Mr. Adams, it's good to have you on the program. What's your reaction to today's sentencing?
Well, it's no surprise. I mean, this was through court, considering trumped-up charges. Consider what they charged her with. Violating COVID protocols by addressing the crowd from a distance when she had a mask on. And incitement, not clear what kind of incitement, for making a public statement in opposition to her being overthrown in a coup, and she and other leaders of the party that won the election, the National League for Democracy, being put in prison. So if this is the best they can come up with, they're really showing themselves to be farcical.
What about global reaction, global condemnation of this sentencing? It hasn't been as loud as maybe it could have been. You agree with that?
Well, I think Aung San Suu Kyi's star has fallen very far. Not only did she not say anything in 2017 when there were these acts of genocide and crimes against humanity against the Rohingya that resulted in thousands of deaths and 750,000 people having to flee to Bangladesh, but she said nothing in 2012 when there were two previous rounds of attacks on the Rohingya that were even more deadly. And she clearly was trying to position herself to gain political favor with the military and nationalistic parts of public opinion. And she revealed herself to not be a human rights activist. And it wasn't just on the Rohingya. She didn't support all the things that she previously said when she was in opposition, such as reform of the laws that allowed people to be put in prison on political charges, such as reforming the judiciary to make it independent and professional, et cetera. So it has been a fairly muted reaction, but you know, nonetheless, this court case reveals the military for what they are, which are a bunch of thugs who are intent on destroying the hopes, not only of Aung San Suu Kyi, more importantly, on the hundreds of thousands and millions of Burmese who've been waiting all their lives to have a chance to participate in choosing their own government, participating in public affairs, all that, all those dreams have been squashed.
Yeah, well, you know, you say this court is a bunch of thugs, and the world knows that. I'm wondering if Suu Kyi had criticized the military's ethnic cleansing of the country's Rohingya Muslims back in 2017. I mean, would it have made a significant difference in how the community, international community, is now reacting to what is happening to her? I mean, her being condemned to house arrest or prison by thugs was expected. The muted response a few years ago was not.
Yeah, I agree. You know, we had debates among Burma watchers and experts on this, but you know, my view and those of my colleagues at Human Rights Watch and much of the human rights community is that Suu Kyi had so much political capital in Burma that if she had stood up against the military and their ethnic cleansing and their crimes against humanity and said, look, we will not allow this in our country. We may have some differences. We will work on those. but we will not allow this kind of violence to be perpetrated against our fellow citizens. If she had taken that position, I believe she could have led public opinion in the right way. Of course, there would have been many people who are bigoted and prejudiced and Islamophobes inside Burma who would not have followed her, but she had the political capital and she chose not to use it.
And now we're looking at the possibility, the very realistic possibility, that Aung San Suu Kyi could be put away for the rest of her life. And Myanmar's military rulers, they have proven impervious to external calls for a return to democracy. How do you think that they can be influenced moving forward?
Well, they haven't always been impervious. I mean, they did move towards elections in 2011 and 12. They did hold them. They had two rounds of elections. And that was because of domestic and international pressure. So it's possible to move them. What I think we have to do is stop playing games. I mean, whether it was the Rohingya crisis or the coup, the international reaction has been far too modest. Number one, let's make sure that the revenues that the military is getting from oil and gas enterprises stop flowing to them. Put them in an escrow account for the good of the Burmese people. When the country returns to a legitimate government, they can have that money. Number two, let's stop hiding behind ASEAN. The European Union, the United States, Japan, and others have been hiding behind ASEAN, the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, putting them in the lead diplomatically to resolve this crisis. ASEAN will never do that. ASEAN's a club of dictators. They have no interest, no will to challenge the Burmese authorities. This international effort has to be led by the European Union. Germany's a very important part of it, as is France, the United States, the UK, Japan, Australia. They need to take a leadership role to try to put as much pressure on the Burmese general.
Yeah, your point on ASEAN is an excellent point. We will see if these countries continue to hide behind ASEAN. Human Rights Watch joining us tonight from Berkeley, California. Mr. Adams, we appreciate your time and your insights. Thank you.
Thank you.
The Omicron variant of the coronavirus is spreading rapidly across the globe. More and more countries are confirming cases of the variant, which is thought to be much more contagious than the Delta variant. It's unclear, though, just how dangerous Omicron really is. In an attempt to slow the spread, the United States today joined other countries by tightening COVID-19 testing requirements for travelers entering the country. But there is no consensus on the need or effectiveness of travel restrictions. Consider the words of the UK Prime Minister. Boris Johnson offered his thoughts on Omicron today while visiting British police.
I don't think that we need to change the guidance and advice we're giving about Omicron in this country. We're still waiting to see exactly how dangerous it is, what sort of effect it has in terms of deaths and hospitalizations.
That was Boris Johnson there with his police cap and jacket on. Let's bring in Paul Hunter now. He's a virologist, professor of medicine at the University of East Anglia in the UK. Professor, it's good to see you again. We just heard Boris Johnson, we just saw him, and he said that there's no need to update government recommendations on Omicron. Is there any evidence to suggest that this variant is less or more dangerous than the other variants?
Well, I think the early evidence is that it is, in fact, less dangerous, but we don't, in terms of if you get the infection, how likely you are to become very sick and need to go into hospital. But the problem is we don't quite yet know how less serious it is. And part of the reason for that is that if once you get in symptoms with COVID, it can take up to about 10 days before you get as sick as you're going to be during the illness. And many people, even in South Africa, that have been infected have yet to have been ill for 10 days. So we don't know how sick many of them are going to get.
What about the spread? I mean, what can you tell me about how the Omicron variant is spreading in the UK?
Well, in South Africa, it's spreading very rapidly. In a matter of a few weeks, it became the dominant variant in many parts of South Africa, particularly Gauteng province. In the UK, we've only really seen the first infection in the last 2 weeks, looking back. But even so, it seems to be growing quite rapidly, possibly more rapidly than most of the other variants did in their initial